Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 18th, 2001.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening and good morning and good afternoon all around the globe. It's a great one indeed, though a little windy here in the high desert. From the island of Guam in the Pacific, the Rock, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, various rocks, south into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the internet. And now on C-Band. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, now on C-Band. In case you didn't hear me say it last night, corporations, big ones, sometimes are okay. And my company has been okay about this. We know there are a lot of people out there in the middle of absolutely nowhere that just cannot get reception. And so, at my request, they bought a C-band transponder. And it's wonderful. Actually, they sort of borrowed it from Fox News, which is nice too. But anyway, you can hear the show now on W3, or G, depending on how you look at it. Transponder 18, that's the Fox Movie Channel. Tune your audio to 6.8 wideband audio, and that's us, folks. That's us. So we're there from 7 at night Pacific time until 6 a.m. the next morning. So we run a lot there. And anybody who wants to send reception reports may listen in and then email me, artbell@mindspring.com. But, you know, a lot of people did backflips to get this done. And I've been a Big Dish owner since the very beginning of it all. And so I favor it in terms of a medium, and even though I've got the little ones, too. But the old faithful Big Dish C-Band, I still love. Now, one other item before we turn to something really important. We're going to have open lines tonight. And by the way, I don't know what we're going to do. Maybe a time traveler line, maybe a possessed person line. Maybe both. I haven't made up my mind yet, but Friday night, Saturday morning is going to be open lines. With one exception, and that comes right now. I really want you to listen very closely to my words. The story is Lost City off Western Cuba. And you've got to grasp the implications of this. Most intriguingly, researchers using sonar equipment have discovered at a depth of about 2,200 feet. We'll talk about the importance of that. It's almost a half a mile down. I've been reading this to you for 3 days. They've discovered a huge land plateau with clear images of what appears to be urban development, partly covered by sand from above. The shapes, they say, resemble pyramids, roads, and buildings. ADC, the company, is excited but reluctant to speculate until a joint investigation with the Cuban Academy of Sciences and the U.S. National Geographic Society takes place early this summer. It is, according to Ms. Zelitsky of ADC, quote, "It is stunning. What we see in our high-resolution sonar images are limitless rolling white sand plains, and right in the middle of this beautiful white sand, there are clear, man-made, large-size architectural designs. It looks like you, when you fly over an urban development in a plane, and you see highways, tunnels, and buildings. We don't know what it is, and we don't have the videotaped evidence of this yet, but we do not believe that nature is capable of producing planned symmetrical architecture unless it's a miracle." She added that from an interview done at her office at Tarawa, along the eastern coast of Havana. Now, I saw this story and I went, oh my God, it was Reuters. And I had Keith go and look for the story. I said, "Keith, go see if this is a real Reuters story for me, would you please?" And he did. And we've got it up there. Let's see, where is it? Was up there. Oh, gee, where has it gone? Let me roll down a little bit. See if it's still there. Keith, if you're listening, please put it back up there and under what's new. Because of the significant, real importance of this, really important. Do you understand? If you don't understand what this means, well, I guess the first job was to, verify it was a real story, and that hadn't been so easy. So I've called upon my environmental reporter, my science reporter, really. She's done work in so many areas, in environmental documentaries. She's done just work in every area of science you can imagine for us. And I would never have the time to do the kind of follow-up she does. It's the only way you can get to the truth. Linda Moulton Howe. And so she began looking into this story herself. And in a moment, she'll be here to tell you what she went through and what we found. Believe me, I tell you, sit right where you are. Don't move a muscle.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
All right. Now, I want to do a little setup on this, further setup on this, so that you understand what's going on. Investigator of crop circles, animal mutilations, things like the animal monkey man that's attacked yet again in Delhi. Wild story. Maybe it's Chupa. The latest, by the way, on that is that, Linda, hi.
Hi, Art.
I just get so carried away with everything.
Well, and also for Coast listeners, I'm the reporter and editor of EarthFiles.com, and what I'm going to be playing and talking about is at my website under science, this is, I think, who knows, Art, how big this story may ultimately be, but what started on this underwater city reported off western Cuba. You and I were talking about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today's Friday.
Right. I think I gave you, I initially sent you the Reuters story. I said,
that's
hey,
right.
Man, look at this.
That's right.
You began to make calls, right?
And my first phone call was to try to get in touch with Paulina Zelitsky, since she's the engineer who was quoted in the Reuters story. And found out that there was no way to get any kind of information in Puerto Rico. You can't do that anymore.
You mean Cuba?
Cuba. You can't get the numbers there because of political problems.
Yes.
And it said that this company was based in British Columbia. And so I went to operators there and asked for advanced digital communications in both of the area codes in British Columbia. Mm-hmm. And the operator came up with a company that she said was that name and went by ADC. And I talked with people there about this story. They knew nothing. They referred me to their international headquarters in Minneapolis. They knew nothing. An executive director of communications called me back even in the evening and said she was very puzzled. They didn't know anything about this. They didn't do any underwater exploration. They were a broadband telecommunications company. I said, ask her. I said, well, can you try to find out what company is using the same letters that you're using? And she said that she would. She called me back again and said that she had not been able to come up with anything on that company.
So it's looking, I remember you called me, right? And you said,
yeah.
Hey, Art.
I'm not sure this is real.
This may be a Kent, I think you said.
Yeah.
And I said, it might be, but it is Reuters.
Yeah.
So you kept on going.
Yeah. So the next thing was getting in touch with National Geographic. And for a while, no one there knew anything about this until finally a man in their science department called me with a woman. Reference. Her name is Barbara Moffat. She's director of plans and programs in the communications office for the National Geographic Society in Washington, D.C. She knew nothing either much, And she said, though, that she had a copy of the Reuters story and that she would do some checking with her superiors to see if, in fact, she could say anything on the record for radio.
Yes.
And after waiting for some time, she called me back and she said...
about 30 minutes. Well, oh, no, you were on hold 30 minutes, weren't you?
Well, she went away and then she came back. This is two or three times. And finally, the last time, she said, I can talk with you. I don't have much to say. But if you want to use this on the radio, fine. And so,
you permission, right? And another thing is, Linda, if she had to go away that many times, you can speculate the conversation in the background was, "Hey, I got a reporter on the line on this Cuba thing. What the hell do I say?"
Well, right? And I actually think that she didn't know much, and that was what surprised me because she is director of plans and programs, and so whatever has been happening. It has been happening either at a small number of decision makers or this is truly something that has just come to light at National Geographic because, as you will hear, Paulina Zelitsky is known to National Geographic and apparently has made a proposal for further research. But here we go. After trying to get contact information for Paulina Zelitsky, the Cuban Academy of Sciences, and Advanced Digital Communications from National Geographic Society, and to confirm this story, the following are the only comments that National Geographic spokeswoman Barbara Moffett would give today.
Here we go.
Please tell me what you know at National Geographic.
We know really what the Cuban people have told us on the basis of a fairly preliminary survey that they did for another purpose, apparently, earlier, I believe, last year, when they were working in testing some deep water equipment off of Savannah Bay. They found some things that they thought were interesting, but it was a very preliminary search. I don't even know the details of the type of equipment being used, but they agreed that much more specific and different types of equipment would be needed to go back to the site. So they have made a proposal to us, I believe, that we get involved and help them explore the area. And it's now just one of many, many proposals we have for such exploration that we're considering at the moment.
Who is Advanced Digital Communications?
I'm afraid I don't know details on that.
Does the National Geographic Society have knowledge about Advanced Digital Communications?
I'm sure we do. And, yes, Linda, I could find out more on that if you need me to call you back on that. I just didn't ask that question.
Yeah, I really do. I'd like to talk with somebody there. Now, in terms of the Reuters story, they have talked with Paulina Zelitsky, who is identified as an ocean engineer. Can you tell me about Paulina Zelitsky?
I don't know too much except that she was, I believe, born in the Soviet Union, but she and is based in Havana. And she's someone who is very involved in underwater work in the waters off of Cuba, and we have known her for some time. Again, she's someone who's just made a proposal to us to do some exploration together.
So you at the National Geographic are in communication with Paulina Zelitsky.
That's right.
And the proposal that she has made has been as an ocean engineer working with Advanced Digital Communications?
Yes, I believe she's made the proposal on behalf of the company that she represents, ADC. But I just would say again that it is just so early on this project, and frankly, some of the things that Paulina has been quoted as saying are pretty speculative. We just don't know that anything like that really exists yet.
Well, in the Reuters article, she is quoted, "We are the first people ever to see the bottom of Cuban waters over 50 meters, and this is supposed to be down at 2,200 feet. It is so exciting. We are discovering the influence of currents on global climate, volcanoes, the history of formation of Caribbean islands, numerous historic wrecks, and even possibly a sunken city built in the pre-classic period and populated by an advanced civilization similar to the early Teotihuacan culture of the Yucatan. And then she says ADC was using and testing deep water equipment off Havana Bay, as you just said, when they found what she describes as clear. She says it's very clear. We are seeing high-resolution sonar images that are showing white sand, and the in the middle of the white sand are clear, man-made, large-size architectural designs. It looks like when you fly over an urban development in a plane and you see highways, tunnels, and buildings.
Yeah, I have a copy of a story that's similar to that, and I know that she's quoted as saying all that. I think she also says we don't know what it is and we don't have the videotape evidence yet. I mean, I think she would agree that it really is very early to even speculate as she has here. I don't know. I mean, it'd be great if it turned out to be something that exciting. Obviously,
well,
we hope so, too, if we want to get involved.
Yes, I mean, this seems very important. And it, Reuters, the interview, also is saying that ADC has been using satellite integrated ocean bottom positioning systems, high precision side scan double frequency sonar, and remotely operated submarine robots, and that they plan to put two submersibles down there. And it sounds as if Paulina Zielitzky has been looking at high-resolution sonar images.
The copy I have says that ADC's equipment includes those things. I don't know that they've had a chance to use them in the site yet, but I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot more to find out about this whole project, and that's something we're in the process of trying to do right now.
Well, since Reuters says ADC is excited but reluctant to speculate until a joint investigation with the Cuban Academy of Sciences and the U.S. National Geographic Society takes place early this summer, can you talk about the work that you're doing with the Cuban Academy of Sciences?
Again, that paragraph assumes that we have a project, and unfortunately that hasn't been decided yet. There are many logistical questions that we're still working out, and as I said, it's one of dozens, if not hundreds, of projects that we're considering right now from all over the world. So it is really very early, even earlier than this story is indicating. I don't think we have anything official with either group.
But there must be somebody at the National Geographic Society who has even images of, from this high-resolution sonar that Paulina Zielitzky is describing, on which to base a decision to do this underwater archaeological work.
I haven't asked that. I haven't seen anything like that. I think it's mostly just been conversations, but I can find out and let you know.
Now, this also, this Reuters story says that, quoting from Paulina Zielitzky, our agenda is much broader. We are very anxious about global environmental changes. Archaeology is providing us with a means to conduct broader scientific ocean exploration. That three other foreign companies, one Canadian, one French, and one South African, operate in shallower waters than ADC, under contracts with Cuban state partner GMR. All the firms have concessions to explore in different swaths of sea and would share profits with the government. Can you make any comment about these other international efforts there off the coast of Cuba?
No.
So the National Geographic Society is working only with ADC?
As far as I know, yes.
And the Cuban Academy of Sciences.
But we aren't working with any of them for sure yet. It's just what we're considering.
And that if you do, it would be this summer of 2001?
I don't know if that question has been answered, but I think that we'd like to do it as soon as possible if it does happen.
And when do you think a decision will actually be made about National Geographic going forward with the Cuban Academy of Sciences and ADC look at this underwater find more closely?
I don't yet know that either. I know that we're seriously considering it, though.
An hour later, I found this message on my phone's voicemail.
Linda, it's Barbara Moffett at National Geographic calling back. I don't have anything else for you, I'm afraid. The principals involved in this project, most of them are not here today, but the ones people I have talked with and my boss say that the nature, the status of this project and the place we are in this project It's still at a very confidential stage. There's nothing else that we can release. We don't have images to release. I don't even think we have any images or any other phone numbers. It's just this information is confidential right now. I'm sorry that I can't be more helpful, but I hope that you at least are able to be a little bit with what I have given you. And I'm keeping your name and number to inform you once that day comes. Thanks a lot.
Linda, listen. That was great. We're at the bottom of the hour, so hold it right there, all right? And we'll do some commenting after this. So, in other words, what did we get out of that? They confirmed the story. Now, that's awesome. Do you have any idea what we're talking, what we might be talking about here? We might be talking about Atlantis. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
What an astounding conversation with National Geographic. Absolutely astounding. And anybody who listened carefully at all could read between about 100 lines during that conversation. That was excellent work, Linda. Absolutely excellent work. Listen, and we're about to get back to Linda to finish this up, but there is one more thing I want to mention to you. Quickly, on my webcam right now, I have an object that a listener sent me on my webcam. And you have exactly 1 hour to go up there and look at it and send me your email guess about what you're looking at. I held it close to the camera and focused on that so you could see it clearly. So you take a look at my webcam and you've got an hour to email me your guess. I'm going to see if anybody gets it right. I thought it was really cute. Linda Howe will be back in a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
This Reuters story broke, and as you know, I've been reading it to you for 3 days straight because I couldn't get over it. But not another organization anywhere has grabbed it. Nobody's talking about it. But do you understand the implications of this? Linda, explain to everybody, if this should be true, which apparently it is. And this underwater city is 2,200 feet down. What does 2,200 feet mean geologically?
Well, that's half a mile down, and it's always, recently, it's been talked about that when the last ice age was here and the ice had basically sucked up the water and the current sea levels could have been down, they say, 300 feet.
300 feet.
Yeah.
That was the last ice age.
Yes, and that we now are back up to where we are now because the water melted. Now, this is very low, and there are two trains of thought here that have emerged out of today, both talking with a woman at National Geographic and talking with Edgar Cayce's son, Edgar Cayce Jr.
Yes.
In the Reuters interview, the author, Andrew Cawthorn, the reporter, he quotes Paulina Zelitsky, the ocean engineer, as saying, quote, we are discovering, among other things, possibly a sunken city built in the pre-classic period and populated by an advanced civilization similar to the early, and it's in the Webster's, it pronounces it, Teotihuacan culture of the Yucatan. Now, when you go to a map, I have put a map, a pretty good one, at earthfiles.com at the top of this story, and it shows how Cuba is basically right below Key West, and if you swing west, and we don't know yet exactly where this is, you are really getting to get out of the Atlantic and out of the Straits of Florida and into the Gulf of Mexico. And I called Edgar Cayce Jr. today, and I was talking to him about this. He had had no one has called him or talked to him either, and I said, what did your father... Basically, can you re-summarize for me? And he said, well, he thought that after the first of the turn of this century, the 21st century, that some of the remnants of the Atlantis would be discovered. And I said, where did your father place Atlantis geographically?
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar Cayce Jr. said that it was in the South Atlantic. He said the western edge of it was in the Bimini and Bermuda area off the coast of Florida. Actually, if you look at a geologic map that the coast and geodetic people have for that area, I think for hundreds of thousands of square miles, it's very shallow there. And the sea level 10,000 years ago and more was probably several hundred feet lower than it is now.
Okay.
Well, this is the, if you look at the maps today, it could be argued almost that Cuba itself and that area of land may or may not have been part of a continent that went out further into the Atlantic. That's the part none of us know. But obviously Cuba has not had these structures on it. And Cayce had said that whatever would be found underwater. And further, I just learned that last week, for the first time in, I think it was the last time, was two or three, 4 years ago, they went back out into the area in Bimini where they have found a shark. It is absolutely the shape of a shark. And for people who would like to see this photograph, they're doing more testing, they're doing more all kinds of analyses on it. I first did this story with an interview on May 16th, 1999, with Edgar Evans Cayce, and have photographs of this shark in that story at earthfiles.com. It would be very interesting tonight to go to that May 16th story. You can go to my headlines page and go down and click on it, and you can see this amazing photograph of this shark that is out in the Bimini area that can only be seen from the air art. There is no way. You can't see it from boats. You can't see it when you're any place. You have to see it from the air. And it's beginning to raise this idea that there may be something huge that was connected between, and you look on the map that I've got, it's not too far from Bimini to get down to this area that is just north of Cuba.
Right.
And how big was this complex? Okay, that is the one direction. But if you go Teotihuacan, and this was this enigmatic, totally mysterious the origin, the language, everything about it is a mystery. And that was the pre-Mayan, perhaps going to the Olmec or between Olmec and Mayan. The so-called acceptable academic date is 400 BC for the flourishing of this culture that built huge pyramids. And to help people think about the possibility that this underwater, 2,200 feet down, that Paulina Zelitsky is describing, that when you look at this image that I have got on the on earthfiles.com, it is of the Pyramid of the Sun, and this is 33 miles northeast of modern Mexico City, but this whole culture of Teotihuacan was supposed to be huge and extended. No one knows how far. And then, if this is tied to that Yucatan culture that has been so mysterious over so many millennia, how in the world could anybody's city have ended up 2,200 feet down?
If this is Atlantis, Linda, it would make it the story of, oh, what
quite
do you
a
think?
Few centuries.
Quite a few centuries. It would be a monstrous story. And the way she has described this, one has to conclude that she used the equipment she described, or she could not possibly be describing the kind of detail we have here. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's why I ask Barbara Moffett at National Geographic if she could please check to see if she could get me some of these high-resolution sonar images, because...
Right. Well, no more info, she said, confidential, right?
Well, yes, but it seems to me that the high-resolution sonar images must be there for them to make a decision on going forward
Bingo.
With more archaeology.
Bingo. So, 2,200 feet under would make it... how would you judge the age?
You know, this is so puzzling, because when you start going down a half a mile to find something that sounds as detailed as what she's describing,
right.
It's kind of hard to get my mind around it, since everywhere else in the world, the discussion has always been at about 300 feet down,
mm-hmm.
and they found that new city off of the coast of Turkey at about 300 feet below sea level.
Right.
And all of that was supposed to jibe with the end of the last ice age. But 2,200 feet down, was there some kind of well, look at the asteroid that allegedly came in, but that was 68 million years ago. Now, in the Casey time, I was refreshing my memory today, and I was surprised to read that he said in his readings that there were three cycles to whatever Atlantis was as a civilization, and
right,
that
right.
part of it went back at least 200,000 years ago. This is now according to the Casey readings. Well, 200,000 is still just a flick of an eye compared to 68 million when that asteroid was supposed to have slammed into the Yucatan area. So you can't find, or at least I don't know, what would explain land going down that far with a city on it that had pyramids, roads, tunnels, and all of that. off the
this
coast
is
of
really,
Cuba.
Oh, this is really something, Linda.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, bless your heart. That's a lot of really hard work. I know you were on the phone for
yeah.
a long time to get what you got, and I'm not sure where we go from here.
I'm going to keep on this and wait for them to give me some more information, and I'll report back.
All right. Bless your heart, Linda. Thank you.
Oh, and thank you.
Good night. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. I'm telling you, this story is monstrous. Obviously, in my opinion, they used the equipment described to get the kind of pictures, the renditions, the high-resolution renditions that they claim to have. So, do we get any more? Apparently not from National Geographic. With respect to all the other questions, sorry, it's confidential. This is a big story. This is a really, really big story, folks. So I'm going to stay on it myself. And maybe it's Atlantis. Maybe it's Atlantis. Wouldn't that be the story of the century, or even several? All right. Let's see what else is going on. Open lines coming up. Still not sure what we're going to do. I think a possessed person line sounds pretty good. Are there any possessed people out there? I know there are. We heard them the other night, right? Again, I want you to look at my webcam. Tell me what it is that you think you're looking at on my webcam. I changed the focus so I could get a macro focus on it so you could see it clearly. And you are welcome to take a guess for about an hour. And then in about an hour, I'll tell you what it is. I went today, and I'm very proud of this, too. I had to, I carry a concealed weapon. You know, here in Nevada, we have a concealed weapon law. And my wife and I both passed that 5 years ago. It's a pretty rigorous thing. You go through a little school, and then you have to go to the range, the shooting range, and you have to go through FBI fingerprints, and oh gosh, you go through a lot. Today we went to renew our 5-year CCW permits, and they had a new test. Who concocted this test? I don't know, but there were some unusual questions on it. Actually, I guess I can't read them, can I? I'm not allowed to do that. You can be giving away the test. I can't do that. Maybe they have many tests. I don't know, but I won't chance it. There were some unusual questions. Let me leave it at that. And then we went to the range and qualified, and I did all that early morning, so it's been a long day for me. Anyway, did pretty well at the range, and I will show you. I've got a Glock is my favorite, a 40 caliber Glock, and not too bad. I brought my target home. I was pretty proud of it, actually. You see, 5 years ago, Ramona whomped my butt. She's a better shooter than I am. She has a 38, and she was really good. And so for 5 years, 5 long years, I've been hearing about this, how she whomped me. This time I got her. I got her, but good. She passed with flying colors, but I nailed her. So now for 5 years, she is going to have to listen to it. Nailed you on the written test and really nailed you on the range. Oh, I tell you, I heard about that for 5 long years. Attorney General Janet Reno said that she might be thinking about running for governor of Florida next year. That would pit her against Governor Jeb Bush. Wow. Wouldn't you have thought Janet Reno would think about retirement after all of this? But no, she wouldn't run for governor of Florida. That's something. Well, she did a lot of work in Florida, you know, before she became attorney general. Well, there are a number of other things that I want to talk to you about. The monkey man in India has attacked yet again, and we've got a picture up of the monkey man. Actually, a link to CNN's composite drawing, more accurately, of the monkey man, and it sure does look chupacabra-like. At first, they were saying it was some man or marauding bands of men dressed as monkeys attacking people, but, you know, somehow that doesn't make sense. Not robbing them, attacking them, breaking bones, and hurting them in various ways, and now I think 2 or 3 are dead. They say it's an animal. It's what they're saying. It's an animal of some kind. They've got bite marks, they've got footprints, and they've got quite a few descriptions now of this whatever in the hell it is. And we've got a photo, or at least a link to the composite photo. You take a look and you tell me it's definitely, definitely chupacabra-like. Check this story out. It's by Deborah Smith, science writer. Repairing the hole in the ozone. Well, the headline is Ozone Hole Repairs Could See Life Expectancy Drop to 30. In other words, none of us would get any older than 30 years of age. In other words, I'm already dead. Repairing the hole in the ozone layer could trigger an environmental catastrophe that would reduce life expectancy to 30 years, says the editor-in-chief of one of the world's leading science magazines, New Scientist. Dr. Alan Anderson, who is in Sydney for National Science Week, predicted that by 2070, rich people could be forced to live in city-sized domes to escape air pollution. Elsewhere, smog would make asthma the leading killer of all young people, and countries such as Russia would be devastated by famine as poisoned crops failed. Gosh, the news just gets better and better. He said the cause would be a hydroxyl holocaust. Plummeting levels of a molecule in the atmosphere that very few people have ever heard of, called a hydroxyl radical, which has a vital role in mopping up pollutants. Well, I've heard about it. Hydroxyl levels began to drop as the world produced more smog, but they rose again during the 1980s. The growing hole in the ozone layer allowed more UV light, which stimulated the production of more hydroxyl. Dr. Anderson said if the ozone hole was repaired, hydroxyl levels would be expected to decline dramatically, and the world would choke in smog. The world would choke in smog. The prediction was one of three doomsday scenarios discussed at an environmental roadshow presented by the magazine in Sydney last night with the assistance of Australian experts. So there you are, from a very prestigious science magazine. Now, I have seen movies, and I'm sure you have too, typically set about 2070, in a world where people are choking, and as it points out in here, the rich are living in little environmental bubbles to shield themselves from the dilapidated, smog, poison-infested world that they're now forced to live in. I've seen it in the movies. But I've never heard it from a publication as prestigious as this. Can you imagine that as a future? Everybody having to wear some sort of oxygen mask who's in the outside? And if you wanted to live normally, you'd have to live in a bubble like the Bubble Boy. You think that's in our future? Wonder what happened to Atlantis anyway. 2,200 feet down, that's almost half a mile down. That's virtually impossible unless it is Atlantis.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone, riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road, his brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let
Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th, 2001.
Back up on the website right now, top of what's new is the lost city off Western Cuba. So you can read the story yourself. But you heard National Geographic confirm it a little earlier. Oh, that was some conversation. And if you have to, go back to the archives later and listen again to the way those questions are answered. Bear in mind that at one point there was a time when Linda was on hold for 30 minutes while this very nice lady consulted with somebody or another in the background. And I certainly don't want to blow any sources for Linda, but I mean, you know that in the background it was like, oh my God, what do we do? We have a reporter on the line. What do we tell her? They were sort of hoping the story would fall into a black hole, I think, 2,200 feet deep. Anyway, we'll stay on it. You've got about 30 minutes now to guess what it is that I'm holding in my hand on my webcam photo. About 30 minutes. Then after that, I'm going to show you my target, show you how I did today. I'm so proud of that. From various ranges. All right, lots to do tonight. We're going to have a possessed person line and a timeline. That means time travelers. In fact, let us define both categories right now. A possessed person line would mean somebody really possessed. I mean, if you're going to call as a possessed person, I expect to hear your possessor. I want to hear the unreal you. That would be a possessed person. And a timeline, of course. My enduring interest in time travel. In fact, I've got a story here that I'll follow up on for you with regard to time travel. So many interesting things. I'm trying to get hold of him right now. It's Dr. Ronald L. Mallett, a professor of theoretical physics at the University of Connecticut, is working on a device for time travel along with other scientists at Connecticut. Connecticut U, that is, Dr. Mallett, was recently invited to speak at the University of Michigan by astrophysicist Dr. Fred Adams, who's been quoted as saying, see below, Dr. Mallett's resolution or solution to time travel is probably valid. So I'm going to be talking, in fact, to any of you know Dr. Mallett, please tell him I'm trying to contact him. I do have a number, and I'm going to be pursuing this next week. Anybody with a time machine or a solution to time travel, I want to talk to. So Dr. Mallett, at the University of Connecticut, I would like to talk to you. Anyway, we're going to have a timeline. Now, this timeline simply suggests that people who, in other words, that time travel inevitably is going to come to pass, I believe, Dr. Mallett or otherwise. And if it is, it may mean many things. One, that there are visitors here now in our time from other times. That certainly would be one. And two, that they may be traveling back on various missions, because if you could move into the past, you could change something. And if you changed something, everything else after it might change. Given to those strange memories that a lot of people have about the way things were. Like Streisand, the way we were, right? We don't know it because we're the way we are. Now. So, two lines. One, a truly possessed person exhibiting their possessor's personality and voice. And or time travelers. Real hardware time travelers. Not people who travel in their mind, but people who travel with devices. Speaking of devices, we've got one up on the website. Pretty interesting stuff, actually. Photographs of a time machine from John the Time Traveler. Take a look and let me know what you think. So, our first time, here's the deal. Our first time caller line, area code 775 727-1222 is hereby restricted. Restricted. Do not use it unless you are a possessed person in action or a time traveler willing to spill his or her guts. Because we know you're out there. We know you're out there.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
All right, we are going to reserve that line away for one of those two categories, what normally is the first-time caller line. Otherwise, open lines, anything you want to talk about is fair game on the other lines. And I'll sort of drop other things in as I come upon them, but you've got to admit, we've got some pretty good stuff here. Oh, there was a fellow, apparently a teacher, apparently fired, a college teacher, professor, fired for teaching his class about the face on Mars. The face on Mars? Now, I'm not going to jump on this story yet. I want to talk to some people before I do, including perhaps the man himself, so that I can really understand what's behind this, but it would appear as though a man has been fired ostensibly for teaching his students about the face on Mars. We will follow up on that story. So much going on. Wild card line, you are on the air. Hello.
Oh, my God, I don't believe it.
Believe it. I push your button.
I love you so much. I'm telling you, you're my hero. Hey, I was wondering, I just wanted to ask a question.
Sure.
I wondered, have you ever had Richard Bach on your show?
Richard who?
Richard Bach that wrote Illusions, Tales of a Reluctant Messiah, also Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
No, I've not had him on. And you're on a cell phone and breaking up terribly.
Okay, I'm out of Virginia here, and I love you, man. So take care. Hopefully you'll have Richard Bach on sometime.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, do you hear how bad that is? They dare to call that communications? I mean, where you've got a strained hear, it's breaking up, it's coming from the bottom of the sea, 2,200 feet down. Come on, someone out there, damn it, make a decent cell phone, why don't you? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Deborah.
Hello, Deborah, turn your radio off.
Getting it, yep.
Yep, there we go. Good, where are you?
Indianapolis, WIBC 1070.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things. First, I just cannot see anybody in Florida voting for Janet Reno after she and her stormtroopers went in there after that little boy.
Well, I mean, you're not going to get a big Cuban vote.
No.
There's no question about that.
And I do think that that could swing it.
It could swing it, yes.
Yeah, and the other thing, Richard Bach, that the gentleman was just speaking of.
Yes.
Part of what he wrote about is traveling in time to meet his own child self. So,
boy.
I think that might be why he was mentioning Richard Bach.
Well, there's an interesting concept, huh?
Mm-hmm. Very, very good books.
I really am becoming more and more convinced that time travel is, that we're actually on the edge of it now, and that obviously if that's true, then there are time travelers shortly.
Oh, yeah. And I do believe that time has been changing. It is shortening and shortening and shortening. And pretty soon we're going to have Christmas right after Christmas.
You know, that would be a world ender. I can barely stand Christmas once a year. It begins now immediately after Thanksgiving, and to have to endure that forevermore.
Art, there's times I've seen Christmas displays up right after school starts.
Well, you're right.
They say the Midwest is behind the times. No way. Yeah. We lead them all.
I hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, she's right. But can you imagine? It's awful enough. When Christmas begins, I go, oh. I managed to get in the spirit of it maybe a few days before the real thing arrives. But the commercialism, not that I'm exempt from that, since I'm sure I feed it to you. I'm a perpetrator of it. And maybe that accounts for why it affects me so heavily. But I know it affects all of you, too. And you go, oh, jeez, here it comes. But it's like one of those things you have to do in life. Imagine if it narrowed down to where that's all there was. Nothing but Christmases and lead-ups to it. First-time caller line. The retailers would like that, I guess. First-time caller line. Actually, my unusual phenomenal line. You're on the air.
How you doing, Art?
All right. Are you either a possessed person or a time traveler?
Time traveler.
You're a time traveler.
Yes, sir.
All right.
An unwilling one.
An unwilling one.
Unwilling.
So that makes you kind of like a time slave.
Well, it's kind of a weird deal.
Well, okay, let's hear it.
Well, I'm a little bit nervous here, so...
It's all right.
I'm going to fly through the story.
Nervousness is timeless.
That's true. I want to fly through the story. If you want details, you ask.
All right. Okay. I'll feel free to interrupt, so go ahead.
Back in the year 23, or forward to the year, I get screwed up.
I understand.
From the year 2374, I was a 18-year-old, and I was working as a maintenance guy at a university.
All right.
And my buddy, an older guy than I was, a good friend of mine, was... technician there, you know, working on stuff.
Yes.
Working on time travel.
Probably in conjunction with some professor at the university, I would imagine.
That's correct.
Yep. Okay.
He was working on it, and they never had it perfected yet.
What is your first name?
Chuck.
Oh, John?
Chuck. That's good, whatever.
Chuck. Oh, in other words, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
All right, Chuck. Chuck's
I don't want to be found.
I understand.
Like you said before.
I have this feeling, Chuck, that I know where the story is going. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
All right, my guess is going to be that you got roped in by your buddy to test...
Nope.
No? All right.
Complete accident. I'm from the future, from the past.
What do you mean?
Okay, as this time travel deal goes on, they had the thing working, they had things going on, and stuff would slow down when you speed up time, and stuff would speed up when you slow down time, and all that garbage.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're screwing around lunchtime one day. I got in there, and he started messing around. He thought he'd speed it up and see me slow down. It was like a telephone booth type box.
I understand, yes.
Next thing I know... they didn't have nothing perfected yet. They were working on it. Next thing I know, I'm out in the middle of a wilderness. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know nothing.
You mean you're in a lab one moment, and then in the next moment you're...
Just like that. I'm out in the woods.
The woods.
Had no idea where I was.
Tropical, semi-tropical, what?
The same thing where I was. It's like northern U.S.,
okay, so you're just no longer in a building. You're there before.
I'm just out in the middle of the wilderness.
Gotcha.
So I didn't know what was going on. I'm looking around. Holy mackerel, you know.
At least.
What's happening here?
Yes.
So it took me about a day, I guess, to figure out what's going on. And so I started thinking, well, I got to find something going on. So I can't walk in circles, so I followed east where the sun comes up. So I've traveled for about 3 weeks, I guess, walking through the woods.
3 weeks?
3 weeks, roughly, 2.5, 3 weeks.
That's like Survivor. How did you stay alive? I mean, what do you have with you?
Nothing.
So
nothing. So what I was wearing when I went into the
booth. Okay, fine. What did you eat?
Just stuff, fish I caught under rocks and streams.
Just like Survivor, all right.
Stuff like that.
My God.
I ran across Native Americans.
Native Americans?
Two different groups of them. I avoided them. I stayed away from them.
Probably a good idea.
Yep. And I finally made it to the ocean, which I figured must be the Atlantic Ocean.
Good guess.
It was.
You were going east, so good guess.
It took me about 2.5-3 weeks to get there.
Uh-huh.
I headed south along the shoreline.
And where do you figure you arrived at the Atlantic Ocean?
I ran into the first Americans.
What do you mean, the first Americans?
First Americans.
How first?
Like, I found out after I mixed in with them, I was in the year 1556.
Wow. And listen, how were you dressed?
Like, well, by that time, I had nothing left of my clothes. I mean, they were all ripped to shreds. I mean,
yeah, it's
for a few weeks out in the middle of nowhere.
So here you are, this waif, finally dragging his butt in after 3 weeks of barely surviving.
Well, I didn't even show up to them, first of all.
You're running into the early Americans.
Yep, I didn't even run into them, first of all. Well, how I got in mixed it with them, it was a deal. It was a guy out with his wife and kid living farming out. Anyway, how it came to be, it was the year 1556. And I've been living here ever since. I'm going to...
Wait,
catch myself, I think.
Wait a minute. Are you, well, what year are you in now?
Right now. Well, what are we in, 2001.
How did you get from there to here?
Okay, here's the details. Part of them. In the year 2300, where I came from, genetic engineering, all that, people lived to be 700, 800, 900 years old, which... I'm going to be, hopefully.
Wow.
And if I live that long, knock on wood, I'll see myself before I get into the machine.
What can kill you?
Normal stuff like you. Disease, anything. It's just...
Well, I know, but if you can live to be 800 or 900 years old, there must be a number of things that no longer kill you.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know. I was 18, 19 years old at the time. It's all this, like right now, it's starting with the genetic engineering stuff.
Oh, it is, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Well, that's what's happening.
But still, we must be the almost nauseating past for you compared to where you were.
I mean, it's like all this stuff, like you see the space shuttle blow up in, you know, 86 and all this stuff. I mean,
all these memories in the history book.
You heard about Lincoln getting, but you never experienced it. It's interesting.
Yep. All right, well. Anyway, well, I don't have much time. So how did you get from that old time to here, to this time?
Well, I'll tell you, one time I almost got killed as a vampire.
Well, don't tell me about that. Tell me how you got here. I mean, I don't have much time.
Well, I got transferred from the machine back to 1556, and I just lived my life. I've been living like this from 1556 till now.
Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't get it right away.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you already must be... What do you figure your actual age to be, then?
Well, I've got to be 400-some years old.
Oh. You really sound fit for 400-plus.
I probably look like I'm 50.
Do you?
40, 50, I don't know.
That's superb. Listen, I got to run. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, take care.
Roll the stone, you know.
Wow. 400 years old.
I used to be a heart beating for someone. But the times have changed.
What do you say, folks? Thumbs up or thumbs down? We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
Thank you.
we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Well, hang on to your seats. I just have this feeling about tonight. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know it's going to be strange.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
All right. I told you an hour ago, I gave you an hour to look at what's on my webcam and to register a guest with me. Well, a lot of you got it right. A lot of you got it right, amazingly. What it is, for those who don't have a computer, it's a little jar, a clear jar with a white cap, and inside this little tiny jar is this wooden thing. And it's clearly quite well done, actually. It's a tiny stool. It has three legs, three wooden legs, and a tabletop. It's a little stool. And so what I'm holding in my hand was sent to me by a listener, and it is unique in the world in its own little way, actually. Well, let's see. Let's give credit to Lewis Hobbs out there somewhere. Thanks. Oh, Lewis in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. A lot of other people got it right. I just went to the first person who got it right. And Lewis says, it looks like a miniature stool in a specimen jar. A stool sample. Very poor taste, but funny. That's right, it isn't. That's exactly what it is. It's a stool sample. Now you have a few more minutes to look at it. It's a stool sample. What a dumb thing, huh? But when you look at it, you go, that's kind of cool. Anyway, a stool sample. And a little later this hour, I am going to brag about my day on the range qualifying by showing you my target. Yes, my target. So I'm going to get that up there on the webcam, too. Maybe in a half hour. Right now, back to the phone lines. First-time caller line, not first-time caller line, anomalous line, I guess we'll call it, possessed or timeline, whatever, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Elvis Presley.
This is Elvis Presley?
That's right, this is Elvis Presley.
The Elvis Presley?
Yeah, no, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, because I'm a lot of people say I'm still alive. I'm not alive. Okay, I'm dead.
You are dead. Well, a lot of us thought you were dead.
Right, well,
not all of us.
There's a lot of crazies out here that say they're seeing me in liquor stores and Kentucky Fried Chickens, you know.
Well, are they? I mean, don't you have to eat? Even if you're, what are you, in somebody's body?
Well, basically, I've been just hanging out on the sidelines, going back to some of my old haunts, and I was actually in Vegas. I was in Vegas last August, and I was checking out this kid who was working at one of the...
There are Elvi in Vegas, so you could sort of go, I wouldn't say unnoticed, but certainly nobody would raise their eyebrows too high there in Vegas.
Right, well...
Seeing you.
Basically, I found this this kid. Now, he must be like 24, 25 years old. And he was different than some of the other impersonators I've seen. He had a kind of special magic about him. And he also seemed like he was only alive when he was on stage, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I could identify with that.
And that's why you took his body.
Right, right. I approached him in the bar after the end of his performance, and I just, you know, I asked him point blank, do you know who I am?
Did he?
That was it, man. He didn't have time to answer.
In other words, you had him at that point.
I was inside.
Inside already.
All I have to do is address him.
As a matter of curiosity, since you did die, why are you wanting to be back here in physical form?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Frankly, I'd just like to say, first of all, I really never finished with this world, you know? And so I've always been kind of...
You did go quickly. But, I mean, it was really, according to everything we know, your own hand that did it. Your own Well, you know, your own hand to mouth, drugs.
Well, there were a lot of lies about.
A lot of food.
There were a lot of lies about me too, but you know, I just want to say, you know,
this is such an unusual opportunity. I don't get Elf as often. I have to ask you a special question.
Yes, sir. What is it?
I hope you won't mind. It's about your music.
Okay.
You've done a lot of things that I like, but there's one that you've done that I would like to understand.
Yeah, go ahead.
And having you online here, it's this one. Listen to the words. It's my favorite.
Came by today, 'cause he was telling everyone in town of the love that he just found and the reasoning of his latest flame. He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she had the longest, whitest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere, and the reasoning of his latest flame.
One of the most unusual records you ever sang, in my opinion, and I would like to understand a little bit about it. Is there anything you can tell me about that record that will give me some depth of understanding about why you sang it?
Well, you know, I got to confess something here, man. Sometimes there's some deep meanings I put in those songs.
I recognize that.
Like in the ghetto, I was really singing about, you know, a condition that I think has only worsened since I passed. With that particular song, I actually, it was written by someone else, you know? And so, I gotta tell you, man, I didn't look too much into lyrics. What do you think about them?
Well, I don't know. I've been trying, that's why I'm asking. I mean, I you know, if you got Elvis, you ask, right? Surely you must know what this, I mean, some of the meaning of this song, you must know.
Well, the green eyes actually were about a particular person.
Marie?
Take your guess, man.
Well, I guess I could have hoped for more information, Elvis, but
I'll tell you what. I'll give you some information.
All right.
I started performing again when I met this kid. Because this kid, like I said, he had the look, and he had the, you know, he had a way about him. It was also pretty easy to take over the vocal cords, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand. Right? Well, you know, there's the obvious resemblance. Yeah,
and I'm still performing. I'm performing now again, man, under the name Extreme Elvis, man. Extreme Elvis. I'm in San Francisco. I've been doing some of the hotels. I've been doing some of the clubs out here.
What about the ethical aspect of taking over this poor young fellow?
Well, you know, I think some people are just weak, you know? Like, for instance, the people that didn't make it. You know, I was the one who made it, man. I was the king of rock and roll, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
That's why they called you the king, all right?
So I think some people are weak.
King needs a body, he takes a body.
And that's right. I mean, I think this kid was weak, and I took him over.
All right, well, I'm straight on that, and I appreciate your call, and it's not every day that you get to talk to, actually, to Elvis. But I don't know about the body thing. Doesn't seem right. Not unless he's in there enjoying it. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Is it really you?
This really is me. What have I got now?
It's about time you answered my call.
You're a possessed person, aren't you?
How did you tell?
I can hear it in your voice. There's a part that gives you away.
You really are as smart as I thought you might be.
Excuse me.
I've always loved your laugh. It reminds me of my own.
Oh, my God, no. However, your laugh has quality.
If you
can actually have a sense of humor, then, having possessed this poor person, whoever this person is.
Actually, he's a very good person. You would have liked to talk to you. All these phonies on the radio, Elvis. Some 400-year-old guy.
Oh, God, I can't go on with this. That laugh. Give me that laugh one more time.
Art.
Yes.
Seriously, let's get to business. My host has a few questions for you.
Yes, your host.
Hold on.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, hello there. I see that regurgitation was you returning.
Is this art?
It is. Yes, it is.
You're kidding.
No.
You're pulling my leg.
I wouldn't pull your leg. Your buddy got you on the air. Now here you are.
I've been trying to get a hold of you.
I guess I should officially inform you that you're on the air, since you might not be aware of that.
You spent a lot of time with that last guy, so I thought you might have a couple seconds.
I got you though. I might.
Well, actually, I've been very privileged in my life. I'm 26 years old. I just got married last summer, August 5th.
And, does your wife know that there's two of you?
Actually, I'm upstairs, and it depends on if she's awake or not, if the other side will show itself. Only at night when I'm up late listening to you.
Really?
Yeah.
When you've shown yourself?
I'm calling all the way from Canada.
I can tell that, too. But when your other self does show, does your wife get to see it and experience it?
I don't think she ever has, and if she has, she hasn't told me in this form.
Oh, well, it may be just as well for you.
Well, probably. But I didn't call you about marriage counseling, Art.
Do me a favor and laugh.
Let me hear this form?
Sounds like a normal, almost normal laugh to me anyway. All right, good. All right, so you called for a special reason, right?
You betcha.
What is it?
Well, I've been privileged in my life to live in several places, the Middle East. I've been to the Caribbean to visit my folks where they live.
Yes.
And I've seen several UFOs. The earliest was when I was about 5 in Main Island, B.C., on the Gulf Islands between Vancouver Island and Vancouver, the lower mainland.
Uh-huh.
And Victoria, where I heard one of my fellow Canadians call in about the chemtrails, which a friend of mine, Rory, I talked to him shortly after, and he said he's seen them several times, and they're still doing it.
We all know.
Yeah. And I'm always talking and spreading the word, coffee talk around the coffee shop where I work.
You mean about chemtrails?
About basically what was on last night on Art Bell, Art. I'm a big-time fan. My buddies Paul and Richard are hopefully listening right now.
Are you referring to Robert Bigelow last night?
Anything the night before is what we talk about at work, Art. So.
I see. Well, that's very flattering. I appreciate it. We're going to have to move on. Thank you. And I don't know if I ever care to meet your other self again. A spirit with a laugh like that. Don't ever give up your body to anybody with a laugh like that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. My name's David. I'm from South Carolina.
South Carolina, yes.
Yes, and I can predict earthquakes through a series of frequency ear tones.
Wait a minute. Frequency ear tones?
Yes.
You mean a sort of a tinnitus condition?
No.
Isn't that what they call it when you hear tones?
It's not in a tone that is usual that you would get from a change in air pressure or just a tone that you would get.
All right. Well, then
once in a while, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's...
That's all right. That's okay, sir. What do your tones tell you?
Well, basically, the tones will come and within the area of usually 10 to 12 days.
It'll be a big earthquake.
It will be an earthquake magnitude plus 4 or 8.
Wait, how big?
4 or 8 or above.
4 or 8.
But the problem that I have is there's no way, and I've been trying as hard as I can to get a formulation through the length of the tone to get an area or longitude or latitudinal area upon a globe.
I understand.
Or any other thing.
I understand. Yeah,
and
of course.
I've not been able to do that.
All right, but how loud are your tones coming to you right now?
I don't have any tones right now. I had some earlier.
How strong?
Last week.
Right. How strong?
We had some series of small earthquakes, 4 and above.
I know. I was just about to comment on that. If people look at the recent earthquake map, it's really pretty freaky. Something's about to happen.
Well,
a lot of people feel it.
That's one thing I have. I'm writing these down in a log that I have.
Yes.
And I've been successful for over a year.
All right. Well, before, if you have a specific, here's what I want you to do. If you have a specific prediction to make as a result of your tones, make it and mail it to me before whatever it is happens. Having said that, I talk to people in all kinds of disciplines who have been watching the pattern of earthquakes lately and the lack of earthquakes in some other important areas. And they seem to agree that the West Coast is due for a shake. Pretty quick. So we'll take your tone report and put that on the pile. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hello. You're on to me now.
I'm on to you now.
Hello, this is John from Alberta.
Yes, John.
And I've been listening to your show, I would say, for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I used to move rigs around and did a lot of driving at night, so...
Talk radio is good company.
Oh, yes. You were the best company a person could ever have all alone traveling through the bush.
Thank you.
But that's not the reason why I called. About a year and a half ago, I came up with a little invention that I believe will break or open up some of the barriers between communicating with extraterrestrials that are presently monitoring this planet.
You're saying you have virtually a transceiver or something equivalent to a transceiver so that you can actually talk to aliens?
No, it's not a transceiver to actually talk to them. It is a signal, a device,
yes,
that will let them know, without a doubt, if you're ready for contact with them or not.
Okay, sort of a contact beacon then.
Yeah, in a sense, yes.
Okay.
But it is, like, everybody has always been wondering, you know, are there flying saucers? Are there extraterrestrials visiting Earth?
Of course. You know, though, I see some problems with what you're doing.
Okay.
And here it is. I haven't fully made up my mind yet whether the aliens, Heinz 57 varieties, as some people say, are more good than bad or more bad than good. And if your beacon should get activated, well, for example, I wouldn't run it at night, not all night. You've got to remember, after all, that whoever, you know, recognizes your beacon and recognizes this is a place and a time to contact. I mean, anything could happen to you. I know you've heard the stories. We're talking long needles, probes in places that you don't want probed, mind washes. We're talking all kinds of possibilities that could occur to you.
Yes, we are. But then you have to remember, again, like to coin a phrase a friend of mine once said, we, being humans living on Earth, have no choice but to think in human logic.
Yeah.
Because we're humans. Now, the nearest star is, 100 million light years away?
Well,
or
Alpha
somewhere
Centauri.
Somewhere thereabouts.
Alpha Centauri, actually, yes.
Yeah, okay, and...
Not that far.
Well, no, not that far if you can handle space travel. But the way I see it is that had they wanting to be bad or destroy us, we would have been gone long ago.
Perhaps, but that was before the beacon. Now you've got a beacon. So if they really can travel these distances, what hope do you really have that they would think of you in any way more than, I don't know, you know, a monkey that can do tricks?
Okay, let me explain this to you. It is
a potato chip,
okay.
or any number of possibilities.
It is not a beacon.
Well, in a sense it is.
In a sense it is a beacon, but in another sense it is not a beacon. It is not a device to promote individual contact in places of habitation. Like if you put one up somewhere where it can be seen from the sky,
yeah,
it's not a signal for them to come down and contact you, which is, I think, one of the major reasons why they're not coming down right now. We are a very young race, and
I know, but you still have all those considerations. It is, in essence, a beacon, and so it may well prove to bring contact, and that contact would be with you.
Yeah, but see, the beacon will not send any more of a light than any other light source on the planet.
All right. Well, listen, I've got a scoot. I know, but it's a special light source, and it's going to invite contact. And I've got to play this, I guess, for Elvis, whose call I very much appreciate, even though I couldn't get all the info I wanted. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
When it rises on the victory up high, mama's dancing, baby on her shoulder. The sun is setting like molasses in the sky. I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
This morning you're hearing what happens when the veil is lifted, even for a few short hours. Look what starts coming through. We're in open lines, and we've got the first-time caller line is canceled as of tonight, except for possessed people and time travelers. In fact, time travelers are so prolific, they're leaking through on other lines now. Nevertheless, if you're a time traveler or a possessed person, call area code 775-727-1222. Otherwise, do not call that line and clog it up with non-phenomena. The other lines are open for anything you want, and as I say, we've had so many time travelers, they're actually leaking through, so we'll take another leap into the veil in a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
To the nighttime, once again we go. You're on the air. On the phenomena line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Thank you for taking my call.
From when are you calling?
I am calling from Minnesota, from the timeline, 2001.
Present line. Okay. Oh, really? Is this call about time in some way?
It is.
In what way?
3 months ago, I was fired from my job. I was a low-level tech at the DIA.
The Defense Intelligence Agency?
That is correct. We were working on unified field theory.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
And why were you fired?
We were working on a way to use a new particle, actually what's known as a migratory particle wave.
Yes.
A combination of particles and waves.
Right.
To travel, excuse me, to send signals backwards in time.
Signals?
That's correct. Using nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology? In what manner would these signals arrive? I mean, you couldn't go back, for example, to before radio.
Exactly.
There'd be nothing for them to arrive on. So in what, how far back are you sending the signals, for example?
Well, the idea
were,
was...
Were you? I'm sorry.
Idea was to scatter the signals and hope that... and understand, of course, that some would go back and some would go forward.
Oh.
Much like tachyons do.
What was the purpose of doing this?
To find out whether or not we could contact our future selves and find out whether or not there was actually ever a unified theory.
Ooh, pretty good idea, pretty good idea. The theory of everything. In other words, you go forward trying to get a jump on technology. I've got you.
So essentially we're trying to cheat the laws of physics.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got it. Yeah, sure. But jump ahead to the theory of everything. All right. Why were you fired?
Well,
this is important work.
The project initially started with an AI computer called Deep Thought.
Artificial intelligence.
Exactly.
And they called it Deep Thought?
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
A little joke that a lot of us later picked up on.
Watergate will never be gone from our society entirely.
Never will be.
Yeah. Right.
And what we found was that there was a particle wave, which we called a pillar. Now, these were leftover fuel from the Big Bang.
Oh.
Now, the Big Bang, of course, was the only time in the at any time that matter traveled faster than the speed of light.
Makes sense.
So what we were trying to do was digitally encode peptide sequences into these pillar particle waves, or we also called them migratory particle waves.
You realize you're beginning to lose some of us here.
Okay.
I understand the pillars of power, I think. You know, from the leftover from the Big Bang. That I can grasp, but now you're confusing me a little.
Okay. I'll put this into an analogy. Faster than light particle waves. Objects,
right,
traveling faster than the speed of light can move both forward and backwards in time.
That would absolutely make sense, yes.
So what we did was that we digitally encoded tiny, tiny, tiny little machines.
Yeah.
With messages, essentially questions.
Right.
And then we sent a template along with those messages, so that they could rebuild the technology and send it backwards to us.
Sure. Okay, I understand all that. I still don't get why you were fired.
Something happened. And
like what?
We called this the paradox of 2012.
Oh, geez.
And we hit a wall.
Yeah, I know.
We hit a wall.
Yeah.
Where essentially we started getting some information back. Whether or not this was simply noise, natural background radiation, or whether it was actually information, we weren't certain. The next day I came to work. I was not allowed into the building. I was told by the security personnel there that I would receive my last check. I was taken someplace.
Good
and
Lord.
Signed a form stating that I would not talk about this information. Essentially, it never existed.
And if you did talk about it?
That I could be prosecuted and that I might end up sitting in front of a federal judge in closed session, which essentially means that I would be tried and no one would ever know about it.
Well.
For supplying black sources.
Right. All right. Well. How about this, then? You're on a talk show right now that's international, and you're being heard by millions of people, so doesn't that sort of violate your clause?
The only way that this type of information can get out is if some of us who are involved in the intelligence community, even at a low end, which I was...
Blow the whistle.
And we talk about these things, and we back each other up, and we say, yes, these projects are happening. These are going on.
Mm.
People are being essentially blackmailed not to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't, they did not hold a gun to my head.
Yeah, I've got it. You're like another Daniel Ellsberg.
They are very good at what they do.
Yep.
However, I am very good at what I do as well.
Have you, well, I bet you are, but have you considered the fact that they could take your scalp for this?
I'm putting out messages. I don't have any family, and this is my work, and I think it's important for people to hear.
Well, I do too, but I think it's at great risk, personal risk, if what you say is true.
I have to balance my own selfish interests, of course, with what I think are more important.
You mean like life?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Against it. Well, the information's out now. What kind of an impact do you suppose it will have? Isn't it, in essence, a terrible tampering with all kinds of timelines?
The timeline problem, which we dealt with,
yeah,
we hoped would come through with the unified theory. We thought that once we got the unified theory back, that the timeline problem would be solved, and they would be able to tell us, well, it isn't going to be a problem because of, well, you fill in the blank.
Right.
So, as I said before, we were hoping to sort of cheat science and get back this information.
Well, it's not exactly cheating. I wouldn't put it that way. But I think I've got your story, and keep us informed, will you please? I guess you're sort of like a drifter now, running, and all, right?
Exactly. I'm one of the reasons why they hired me was because I don't have any familiar ties or anything like that. So
obviously they didn't screen very carefully when you got in.
They did. I worked for them for 15 years, but 15 years...
15 years with the DIA.
Well, before that, NSA, and then before that, I was Army
too.
Intelligence, and then before that, you know.
Okay. I think I've got the picture, and I certainly appreciate the call. And I do understand the concept of getting a message forward faster than time, trying to get the answer to everything virtually and bring it back here to this time, accelerating, of course, everything, changing all kinds of timelines. Incredible story. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. I didn't know the rules of the game, so yes, I did call the wild card line. Yeah, some of us are musicians. We work till 2.
You are a what?
A singer.
You're a singer?
Yes. Used to travel. We might have met somewhere sometime. But I have had a series of interesting dreams ever since a child. But they started getting really interesting when I started seeing appliances, objects, flying cars and things. So I started asking people in my dreams, what year is this?
Right.
And I had some really great responses.
Like what?
Well, in 2008, do you want me to go chronologically? Because I tried to write down everything. Okay.
No, there's no way we're going to have time for everything.
Okay, well.
How far ahead did you go?
Okay, I went as far as 2225.
2225?
Yeah.
How do cars look then?
Well, if I told you at 2125, they were flying. And they were very small, and they look like the cars you see on TV now, with the kind of half electricity and half gas.
Gas, right.
Yeah. And there was very few, like, van type, you know, more than 2 people cars.
But
very
they
few.
Were flying.
Yeah, but the cars that were flying, this is really cool. The ones that were flying galloped down. They had a pulley system. It galloped down like a horse, and then the pulley system lifted the legs back underneath the car, and they went on the road. It made the car able to stop on a dime. Now, our robotics, since I've had the dreams, are coming to this technology that it can do that. That's what's really cool. And at the same period of time, this is, I believe, 2121, they had projection televisions. They had every room had a big screen TV in it, but it had one projection box in the middle of the room with slits in it that would send the signal to the different screens. That was some of the technology that I saw there.
Was
but
it like a...
There was overpopulation. There were people living in the streets. And the people who had houses, they were very compactly set up, you know.
So space was at a big
premium.
Yeah.
Yes. And there was the apartments.
It's like we
were
all turning Japanese.
Yeah, the apartments, they were, how do I put it?
Compact.
There was common areas where there was large screen TV, play pit for children, video games, fountain, anyway.
That's probably our future, all right.
Yeah.
I can see it now.
Okay. And then by the year 2225, there was hardly any cars at all. But the one car I did see in the square,
yeah,
it had an odometer on the license plate, like it was counting time or counting something, like it was at a premium.
Wow.
So
a time-traveling vehicle, it really is what you were seeing.
Well, I don't think so, no, because, you know, I had first appeared in a place that had, like, been burnt or something, and there was a female police officer with a scanner type thing that, like you see on Star Trek, and she was searching for an identification signature. And when I went into the cafe and sat down and talked to a couple men, they said, "Don't you have an identification tag?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't. I'm from the year blah, blah, blah. What year is this?" And, they, you know, they look at each other really strange in my dreams, you know. And, you know, "You don't have an identification tag?"
Do you tell...
By that time, everybody had an identification tag.
You're right. Do you tell a lot of people about this?
Nobody will listen to me, but that's okay. These are dreams. These are night dreams. But my visions are what I worry about. They've all come true.
Uh-oh.
And the one that hasn't come true yet, you want to hear about that?
Possibly.
Okay. I've got the timeline down. My visions are usually 2 years, okay?
Yeah, if you're 100% before this, then I guess I won't.
I can give you as close as I possibly can.
All right.
And no one human being knows the exact date.
Right. What is it we're talking about?
Okay, we're talking about a rocket that comes out of Iraq. And two Patriot rockets that try to stop it.
And
there's a Scud missile that comes from the north that doesn't stop it either. And it keeps going.
And
it's a guided missile.
And
Hillary Clinton sitting at a computer in New York. This is before I even knew she was running for office when I had this vision. You know, it was a continuing vision, so I knew it hadn't happened yet. And, there's nuclear fallout over the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, and we need to go where the rolling hills and the air is clear. It was very important. Let me see. I've been contacted by the future since I've been a child.
So
everything that's happened so far into my life, I only know it to this point in time.
But all your previous visions have come true?
All of them.
So you fully expect this one to come true?
Yes. It hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's pretty dismal stuff.
I'm sorry.
All right. Hey.
Right. Hey.
It's all right. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yes. I mean, what are your plans?
I can't afford to do anything.
So you're just going to go out and greet it?
Huh?
Open your arms?
Oh, I know my predesignated spot. I know where I'm supposed to be. But
In order to be safe, you mean?
Yeah. I know where I'm supposed to be.
But and so if you can't afford to be there...
I have faith, okay?
It's lights out, huh?
I have faith that I will be there when it's time.
All right, well...
Or at that time.
All right, 2 years. Can you give a precise date?
Yes, it'll be... it's not even too... Well...
All right, just give us a date.
February 11th, 2002.
Oh, brother, that's pretty soon.
Yeah, and I can't give you, like you said, it's an exact day.
2002.
But it's that, right, really close to that.
February 11th, 2002.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've marked that down.
All right,
thank you very much. So, a missile out of Iraq, February 11th, 2002. Big nuke, obviously. Great. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
This is Harvey calling from WREC in Memphis.
Yes, hello, Harvey.
Fine, sir. Nice to talk to you.
And to you.
I viewed a movie earlier this evening on HBO called The 13th Floor.
Oh, I have not seen that yet.
Well, I think you and your wife both would enjoy this movie. It stars Armin Mueller-Stahl, the German actor.
Right.
And... he invents a computer that takes the whole 13th floor of this building. And the unique thing about the computer...
What do you mean, takes it? I see the computer. You mean it's a full floor of a computer?
Yes, sir. It has the, I can't think of what you call them, but the, The thing that holds the mental capacity.
Yes.
They go from the floor almost to the ceiling, and there's one right after the other. It's these great big things, bigger than the UNIVAC thing used to be.
Memory blobs.
Memory, right,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And what this computer does, it actually reassembles people in another time, in another place.
Time travel.
Right, time travel.
Or more like the Star Trek transporter in a way, except using the Star Trek transporter or its equivalent for time movement instead of spatial movement.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
This particular movie was so well done. I mean, it's one of the best ones I've seen in a good while on this. And the acting was great.
Well, why do you think they're having movies like this?
Well,
prepare us.
I think so, too.
But I mean, just listen to my callers.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously, we're being prepared for something, and I think time travel's a common.
But this movie has got some really different turns in it, and that's why I think...
Well, now, don't give away...
I'm not going to say any more about it.
All right.
I'm just going to ask you to...
I'll watch it.
To watch it and
it's my kind of movie.
And say something about it. Would you tell me if you liked it or not?
I promise you I will.
I appreciate it.
All right, sir.
I'll do you again. Bye-bye.
Take care. Absolutely. That's my kind of movie. So, the 13th floor, huh? A gigantic computer on the 13th floor, capable of disassembling and reassembling you in another time.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
It's a Friday night, Saturday morning, and obviously the veil has lifted for a number of hours here, and we'll see how long it goes. Open lines, one exception there. The first-time caller line is canceled and devoted to possessed people. Now, we've not had a plethora of possessed people, but a few. And, of course, time travelers. And we've had so many of those that they're beginning to leak over onto the other lines. The bail is really up.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Tim in Minnesota says, Art, next time someone calls with a computer in their head, please pop them a question quickly to see how fast they come up with an answer. Maybe a history question. You know, like on weakest link. You're the weakest link. Goodbye. You see, Anne, she was interviewed by Larry King. It was pretty cool. She is, she's a real life horror story. I mean, she's like everybody's teacher, and she knows it. I'd kind of like to interview her, I think. She'd be fun. I like that show, Weakest Link. Don't you? How many of you out there like that? Oh, I don't watch TV. I never watch TV. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello? Hello.
Hello.
There you are.
I'm sorry. I've got my headset in my ear. I had to turn it down. Sorry about that, guys.
Sorry. Where are you?
I'm in Miamisburg, Ohio.
Miamisburg, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I received a dog about 3 years ago. I adopted him. And he and I, you know, he and I have been together for three. It'll be June the 2nd. He'll be in his fourth year with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is so awesome. I have trained him to be a guide dog. I'm visually impaired.
Okay.
I home trained him myself. And at one point when we were, you know, when we were just, you know, bonding and things.
Yes.
I said, do you want to work for Mom? And he was ecstatic. I mean, he's a big baby though, too. I have three children also.
Are you telling me you communicate with your dog?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You
we sure do.
And I mean, mentally?
Yeah, it's really neat.
It's not spoken so much as it is just a mental communication?
Well, you know, some of it is spoken and some of it's not, you know.
Well, you know, I'm going to have an animal communicator on pretty soon.
Ooh.
But, yeah, pretty cool, huh? It's not
I'll
up on my website yet, but I've already scheduled it. What does a dog think about, mostly? Or what are a dog's biggest concerns?
Well, they want their food, they want their loving, you know, their unconditional love from us.
Yeah.
And they want to be, I guess, pretty much treated as equals, I think.
Equals?
You know, like, I think they might... I mean, I know with mine, he's the kind of individual who might, you know.
I mean, if they really want to be treated as equals, they got to stop pooping on the grass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things that have got to get done here before that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, where that's concerned, I'm a pick-upper. I'm always carrying a bag with me, you know, at some point.
So, I mean, you're so fast it never hits the grass, huh?
I reach down, I feel the posture.
Well, actually, all right, listen, I don't want to know the details. I can visualize it. That's fast, all right. I'm going to have an animal communicator on the show. I do personally believe that it's possible to communicate with animals. And so I suppose, if she received a communication about an upcoming event, that it would be possible, knowing that ahead of time, to position the bag appropriately. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Willow.
Willow. Oh, that's a nice name.
I used to be up in Tumwater and call you all the time, and now I'm down in Riverside, California.
Well, I'm still here.
I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
I'm listening to you on my CC radio.
That's some radio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hot one.
Yep.
I like it.
We've got a sale on them through Monday that you probably will not see again in your lifetime, so.
So I'll get another one.
Well, it's a good time.
Art, do you remember when Hale Bopp went over?
Clearly, yes.
Wasn't there something about some green matter being thrown down?
Yes.
Into our atmosphere that
yes.
would cause some kind of a mold that would be deadly?
Fungus, yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
now it's happening.
Well, it you know, you've got a really good point there. I have never heard so many fungus and mold stories in my whole life. And, in fact, who predicted that? Ed Dames, Major Ed Dames.
Oh, it's him. Oh.
Yeah.
Also, mad cow disease.
Yes.
The government is saying that we don't have it in this country. I have a friend who has been in a coma for 9 months with it.
Yeah, I'm hearing these stories all over the place. I know.
The hospital says that they personally know of 4,500 cases of it at this right now at this point. But I only know one person who has it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've been hearing the same stories that you've been hearing. And I don't have an answer for you. I hope it's not here. If it is here, maybe I don't want to know.
I want to tell you a story that happened to me back in the mid-80s, like early mid-80s.
Okay, real quick.
Okay. My daughter used to go out horse riding all the time, and she was 11, and she went... I lived in Ashland, Oregon at that time, and there was a lake way out in the wilderness, sort of, called Immigrant Lake, and she used to go riding, take her horses out to Immigrant Lake and ride around. There was an old, ancient old cemetery out there.
Mm.
And she came home one day and said, Mom, there was the weirdest thing. We were riding and there was like a little chipmunk, colony, and all the animals were dead and they were all frozen in place. And I went out and looked and lo and behold, they were. That there was one chipmunk had been climbing up a tree trunk, and something had startled him. He had turned his head, and his tail was up, and he was frozen in that place. They were all.
So it was like all chipmunks turned to salt. Salt, little salt chipmunk pillars.
They were frozen in place instantly,
yep,
all
yep,
of them.
Yep, yep, I've got it.
And we went back. I tried to get somebody to pay attention to it, the college and the police and everybody. Nobody even cared. I went back 2 days later, and they were decayed to the point that they looked like it was like 2 months.
That's an ugly thought.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened.
So pretty soon all there would be chipmunk skeletons.
Well,
kind of frozen in place.
Right, but what could have happened? A ray gun? A stun gun? What on earth could have happened to kill them all instantly like that and then cause such rapid decay?
Star Wars? I don't know. I appreciate the story. My God, frozen chipmunks. Little pillars of chipmunk salt. Then decaying to little chipmunk skeletons. Frozen in place, probably, with mid-stride, halfway up a tree. What a horrible world that would be. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Is
this Art?
Yes, hi.
This is Mark from Canton, Ohio. I listen to you on WHBC.
Yes, sir.
And I don't time travel, but I have a contact that tells me things. If you'd like to know a few things about the year 2095, the changes.
Oh, absolutely would, yes.
The homes are built partly underground and partly tall, okay?
That would make sense.
And the automobiles, believe it or not, they're run by oxygen power. Now, I'm not a very technical person, so I couldn't explain it.
I've heard screeches about air-powered cars now for quite a while.
Well, they actually have the glimmer of this now, but they're not using it for whatever reason. Also, there's no alcohol and no tobacco. That's been outlawed in about the year 2067.
That's why I'm going to die before that year.
Well, me too. I'm a chain smoker. And as far as... Well, let me just tell you,
anything you could offer at all.
Yes. By the way, you're going to be moving to Hawaii. I don't know whether you've ever thought of that or not, but...
My wife was born in the territory of Hawaii, so that isn't such an outrageous possibility.
Well, you are, and you're going to adopt a child. That's all I'll tell you, unless you want, know anything. I don't like to tell people unless they know.
A girl or a boy?
It's a little girl.
Little girl.
And the name starts with L. And I'm picking up the name Lalani, so I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but that's down
there. Well, not yet.
Yeah, but anyway, as far as the future goes, the people are offered a government subsidy to be sterilized.
How much?
It's enough to live on, but you have to be at least 21 years old to do this. And welfare, as we know it...
Why? I mean, we've got kids having kids at 12 now.
Yeah, well, it's to kind of, and they start... in the year 2052, they start every kid at fourth grade level. They have to carry around an electronic baby with them, like half the school year, that cries and does all these things, and it helps a little bit. But
what are you talking about?
We're in school. It's sort of like to keep them from having kids. You know, they have
a placebo baby.
Yes, to let them know, this is what you have to deal with.
Oh, I know, I've got it. I've got it.
Anything you want to know, I'm a little nervous, I've never called before. Anything that pops in your mind you want to know, let me.
And so the little placebo baby does all the realistic things like...
It even defecates, yes.
And it teaches these little tykes what it would be really like.
Right, and it does help somewhat. But the government, had this, voluntary sterilization. There was a big thing about it. It was very, opposed, but...
The other thing they could do, and I'm just thinking ahead, of course, would be to make them wear this thing that would simulate, a giant belly in weight and size.
Yeah, that would work,
Sure.
Yeah, but... I can't really think anything else earth-shattering to tell you.
Well, that's funny. That's very good.
Yeah, but the homes are really cool. They're like, they're underground partly, and then there's also a sort of like every home has sort of their built-in fallout shelter.
That makes fallout shelter.
Yeah.
So we're still worried about that then?
Not so much, but it's more like a preventative thing. And there's also underground gardens. There's certain like light things that they work out that people have underground gardens. There is a lot of fallout towards the end, around 2073. There is some kind of a fallout, and we do lose about 29% of the population.
Oh my God!
And this, that's where they start building these homes, and
it's almost one out of three. That's almost one out of three people in the world.
Well, it's pretty bad. And there's not a lot of meat eaters. People that do eat meat grow their own animals, and it's sort of a delicacy. People go more towards, there's some kind of a protein-type mixed food that's real nutritional, that's
yummy.
Cheap.
Oh,
no,
yummy.
It isn't that good from what I understand. But see, how I get this information is I have a twin that I was her twin and died in the future, and she was mine and died, And anyhow, it's a contact, But she shows me these things. But the cars are actually... They're very, very nice. They're not real small or anything.
Do they fly?
They had some flying cars. They tested them. They have them, but only certain people are allowed to. There's rigorous testing.
Yeah.
You have to really go through a lot of schooling and stuff.
Yeah.
To be able to, and you can apply. It takes 3 years to get a license for that. Because the people are just as reckless above as they were below.
They're
not really expensive. It's just, it's very, the penalty to be caught, not have license, it's really bad.
Very severe, I'm sure. And I imagine there would be air rage, huh?
Well, people, as a rule, they have all the drugs that they give people, they have substituted these psychotropic drugs. They substitute them with natural substances. And they're special... they're enclosed where a lot of the produce is above ground. There's no such thing as open-air farming anymore. It's all got a huge greenhouse-type thing.
Yeah, I've heard
this. They discovered there's a lot of poisons that's causing a lot of people's crazy behavior, but a lot of it was a psychotropic drug.
A lot of that is almost going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing the beginning of it now.
Yeah, I mean, the food sources are very monitored now, and the people live a little longer. The life expectancy is about 110. And if you take good care of yourself, you can live longer.
Yeah, but all that time in such a lousy new...
Well, things are better in the future. Life is a little more simpler.
It would make sense. Certainly if you built a house down into the ground, a lot of people don't know this, but the ground temperature just 3 feet down is a constant temperature.
Yeah,
it would make all the sense in the world.
Yeah, all the schools are underground, too.
That would just make sense. I appreciate it. You see, from an energy perspective, if your home is underground or partially underground, you're going to have, I forget what it is, 57 degrees, I believe, is about the temperature, somewhere in there. So you don't have to air condition very far, obviously, and nor in the summer, nor in the winter, rather, do you have to heat. very, very much. You're always starting off at a base point of about 57 degrees, so that would lessen the energy needs significantly. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Stephen Phoenix.
Hi, Steve.
One man's air rage is another man's dogfight. You know, I'm going to have nightmares now about the minted taxidermist running around the woods.
Yeah.
Sticking little squirrels on trees.
It's a horrible mental image.
Yeah, I'm calling from Phoenix. We got a bit of weather here, so I'm on a cell phone, so I'll make it real quick.
What do you mean weather? You mean like thunderstorms?
Thunder, lightning, rain.
Really?
You probably hear it flashing in and out. Anyway, a couple of points you were talking about, I'll just run through them real quick and listen on the air. You don't have to worry about aliens unless they fail to call ahead. We're sitting there watching, what was it, Independence Day the other day, and my son was talking about it.
Yes.
And we figured if an alien calls ahead, he's got to be friendly. If he doesn't call ahead, he wants the element of surprise. Make sense?
Yes, but, you know, I think there is going to be a big difference in terms of the way the public reacts. If they just arrive without calling ahead, light years ahead, the public could, I think, swallow that. We've been talking about that. If we were to get a call and it was light years away, you know, it would be sort of an intellectual thing. It would be a giant story, but mostly intellectual. You know, we'd talk about it. We wouldn't worry about it. But if they suddenly were just, boom, right here, then you'd get a real problem.
Exactly my point. They want the element of surprise for a reason. The next thing is, imagine how preserved anything from the Atlantis deep water city must be. 2,200 feet, there's zero oxygen.
That's such an incredible story. That is such a... But what about the salt erosion?
The thing is they're finding in the Caribbean where Jacques Cousteau dove on one of the oldest wrecks, and they're pulling up wine bottles that are still sealed and preserved, and they toasted out of one of the wine bottles at one of the functions.
After hearing the story, and then hearing tonight's report from Linda Moulton Howe, you've got to begin to believe that it might just be Atlantis. That's a half mile down in the ocean. If it pans out, and the story obviously is real, if it pans out, we might have found Atlantis.
But think of all the silver and gold that's not affected by the salt water. It'd be absolutely perfectly preserved. And that lady who called in about the dream, the vision.
Oh, yes.
I've been having the same dream for about 5 years, and I wrote it down and had it notarized 5 years ago.
Which specific one? I had a few dreams.
Nuclear fallout across the northern hemisphere of North America, and the whole nine yards, nuclear attack, and failing to knock it down with a couple of missiles.
You're talking about a missile from Iraq specifically?
It wasn't specifically Iraq, but it was that region. And I had the whole thing notarized 5 years ago.
Notarized?
Yeah, I wrote it up. It bothered me so bad, I wrote it up at my family's insistence, and I took it down and had a notary stamp it and date it.
And what did the... I'm just curious what the notary said.
Oh, she didn't read it. She just notarized it.
Yeah, it's true. They don't have to read the document. They just are witnessing your signature.
Last thing I wanted to touch on is the power industry. The local radio is reporting something about hearings going on. Could you pull that AP wire about the 3,000 kilowatt hours last year versus over 12,000 kilowatt hours this year worth of maintenance going on or something?
Yeah. I know. There's going to be hearings about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's on the AP, apparently, because they're talking about it locally.
Listen, there's going to be power witch hunts in California.
Okay. Have a good one.
Yep. Take care. Absolute power witch hunts. They're going to go after anybody they think has cheated anybody out of any power because they need every last kilowatt hour in California.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
Your romance.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
It is Friday night, Saturday morning, and the veil, actually, I'm now detecting, has been completely eradicated. Hard to tell how long this will go on, but not too hard to tell how long we're going to go on. We've got another full hour ahead of us of open line.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
All right, once again, into the night we go, west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Mike calling from Southern California, listening to you on KFI this morning.
The mighty KFI, yes.
I have what I deem to be quickening news for you, and I wanted to see if I could get your opinion to see if it qualifies.
You certainly may.
I am a police officer in a major Southern California city. I've been doing police work for 12 years now. And the amount of mental illness or mental health difficulties with people that I have to either take and put in a 72-hour mental health hold.
You think that number is going up significantly?
Since I came on 12 years ago, that number has tripled. In fact, a large part of the shift, the 10-hour shift that I work, is spent on some days handling people who either want to commit suicide, who are having mental difficulties, any type of anxiety disorders, people who are on medication or not taking medication, and it's affecting their behavior, but yeah, that amount has tripled in the last 12 years, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Or at least as we judge normalcy, to us, what we're calling mental illness. There is obviously some major change going on.
True. And knowing the events that are going on and having listened to your radio program for many years now, I can't help but think that there isn't some type of correlation, call it desolation, of people in the world, or at least people maybe over here in the land of fruit and nuts. But there is definitely a sense amongst the people that I work with that there are more and more people who are just kind of thrown in the towel.
Well, I don't have any good argument for that. I do think, of course, that a police officer sees a disproportionately large number of these people. So I know that you can form that opinion, but you're telling me that in the time that you've worked, you've seen that much of an increase, huh?
Yeah. My shift has been consumed on most... my shift is being consumed nowadays and on Sundays primarily by some type of incident involving someone with a mental health problem,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to 12 years ago when I first came on, when it didn't seem to be as prevalent.
So we're getting crazier and crazier.
I agree.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, and take care. Actually, the figure I had always heard would really fit that bill. I mean, I'd always heard that one in four Americans, according to, you know, some psychological, psychiatric organization of some sort, one in every four people could be considered to have some kind of mental illness. Now, again, that's by their standards. It may well be that something else is at work here, and it may well be that these people are not technically crazy. They simply are in touch with another reality. There may be, in other words, what you have observed, and I think accurately, is people that you perceive by your standards as being mentally ill. Maybe they are, but maybe there is some other change underway as well that accounts for what you see as mental illness. First time, anomalous line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yes, hi, this is Father Jerome. I'm calling you right now from KEX Country up here in Oregon.
Yes, sir.
And, well, I figured I would call simply because probably no one is going to believe me anyway, so I might as well tell you my story.
You're a priest.
I am.
All right.
I'm originally on a temporal assignment from the year 2053. I've come back on a third Vatican expedition to record and observe what popularly you would call the Antichrist.
You are here on behalf of the Vatican?
I am indeed.
That is some assignment, and it relates to the Antichrist.
It does. It does indeed.
There, what are you supposed to do?
Well, right now we are supposed to document and come back with observations recording his early life. There has been problems later on down the line of...
Wait a minute. You just let that slip. So in other words, he is alive now.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
And, well, quite frankly, we think that if we need to step in early on, we can change things from getting worse.
So it's a Vatican mission to literally change the... Well, I almost hate to ask. The Vatican has not ordered you to liquidate the Antichrist, have they?
Well, I have had instruction from Pope Pius XVI on that. I will not refer to that now. But
well, I can read between those lines.
We also have... this is the third expedition. We've also found... that we are able to maybe change things if we need to. If we have to get into what's called wet work.
Wait,
Wet work.
Yeah,
I believe
you're obviously not talking about holy water.
I'm not talking about holy water, and there's some probably... your government people would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I've heard the phrase. It's in our, you know, popular culture here. We know wet work.
Yes.
And I see nothing much changes either.
No, I figure I will call you up because no one is going to believe me anyways.
And, Father, when you do this, when this wet work is, I don't even know how to ask this.
Okay.
So I'm not going to. I'll just get in trouble. Let's leave it here and see what people have to say about what you just said.
And, Art, I will fill in one more clue for you.
One more.
Alzheimer's, you'll find out in exactly 9 years, 8 months, and 2 days that Alzheimer's is caused by enzymes in meat stemming from mad cow disease. You will not have to go vegetarian. You will just have to properly condition the meat differently.
Well, that's good news. Thank you. So that was, he said he was a priest on assignment from the Vatican in our present time. Two, it went slightly unsaid, but I mean, obviously, do a little wet work here with the Antichrist. Holy smokes. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell, it's a pleasure to speak with you today.
And to you as well, sir.
I'd like to talk to you about time travel.
Why not?
Well, I am currently on a trip. I'm back from the year 2030.
2030.
Uh-huh. I was born in this year, the year 2001, and I'm come back to...
You came back to the year of your birth?
Yeah, to observe my younger years that I can't remember.
That is a cool idea. So you're actually back here seeing yourself as nothing much more than a little wrinkled-up shrub of a being.
Well, actually, it doesn't work quite like that. We have what... back up in the year 2030, we come to find out that the reason why you can't go back, and you've heard of the grandfather paradigm, haven't you?
I have indeed, yes.
Go back, kill your grandfather, you don't exist. Well, right. It doesn't work that way because you have what's called an aura effect. It's genetic. An aura is an energy field that surrounds our body.
All of us, yes.
And so if you go back in history to kill your grandfather, you're... The auras collide, and the person that is displaced gets put back into his present time. So you can't...
Bounce back. So almost bounce back.
Yeah, almost zapped back.
Yep, okay.
And so I'm actually about 200 miles from my my boyhood person, which hasn't been born yet. I'm here actually low Earth.
And you've really got to keep your distance then.
Yeah, I do. I figure I'm about as close as I can get without being zapped back.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. what are you here, I mean, to observe from 200 miles, what are you going to see?
Well, I'm actually here, in the year 2030, I'm an astral historian.
I suppose you could send yourself a pacifier or something, but I mean, other than that.
Yeah, well, I'm actually here to observe the next few years, because the year 2003 is actually a big year for this world.
What is going to happen?
Well, a lot of things happen. First off, you talk a lot about the quickening or...
I do.
Global warming.
Did you hear the police officer down in L.A. I just had on here?
I did. And most of that is...
You realize he was talking about people like you?
Maybe.
But see, you even though from his perspective, you would be already qualified for 72 hours of observation. On the other hand, you sound otherwise sane.
Well, I come across the people I meet sane enough. It's just when I figure I can tell you because you're probably about the only person that can understand this.
Yes, you can tell me. Just whisper it into my ear.
Well, in the year 2003, we figure out that the global warming and all that's taking place because of a pole shift that's happening. The pole shift has been happening started 20, 30, 40 years ago, I'd imagine, and is slowly taking place.
Well, we have seen we've seen magnetic north. There have been several times over the last several years that my listeners have called me and said magnetic north has moved actually as much as 12 degrees, takes little temporary jaunts. And a lot of people think it's getting ready to take the big one.
Well, it is in about two years.
Okay.
So the whole world's going to do a 90-degree flop here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you take the globe and you turn it clockwise 90 degrees. And the new poles will be located in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and in Australia.
A 90-degree shift, that's not at all good.
No, in fact, it'll probably rip apart. It does rip apart the world pretty much.
Pretty much it would do that, yes.
Yeah, and...
Oh, brother.
Well, it's just two from now.
Just
paradise.
Two more years. Two more years.
Yeah. And in the year 2030, where you live now is pretty much a tropical paradise.
That'll be a big change for this area.
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, how...
lush green, lots of moisture.
Right above where you live, the state, Utah, big dinosaur place where they found dinosaurs, and that's because it used to be tropical area. And that's where it'll go back to.
So Utah goes back to tropical too?
Yes, it does.
It sounds like some other areas might not fare as well, though.
No, Australia, poor Australia.
What happens to Australia? I have a lot of Australian listeners now, so...
You remember what the Antarctica was like?
Oh, no.
It basically becomes the new South Pole of the world.
Well, that doesn't leave them much hope.
No, it doesn't.
They'd almost have to be leaving now.
They better, if they know it's good for them.
Are you listening down there? All right, my friend, thank you.
Okay, well, take care, Art.
Take care is right. All right, thank you. Bad news for the Aussies. Hmm. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Dee in Atlanta. I was listening to you on WGST.
WGST?
AM, yes. AM and 105.7 FM.
We're all over the place now in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Just turned off my CC radio.
So thank you.
Won't interfere.
Is that a superior radio or what?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. There's nothing that compares with it.
I know.
I'm a security officer in the North Atlanta area. I actually
Yes, sir.
Work as a police officer in a town well north of here.
Right.
A town that doesn't want to afford their own police department, so they contract with me and several retired officers.
That makes sense.
Well, it's cheaper that way.
Yep.
But right now I'm very frightened. I'm wondering if I'm not from another timeline. There's a situation happening in California right now with a power problem.
There is indeed.
Mainly, it appears that they just basically haven't built their own power plants for the last 30 years.
It looks that way.
But
and then a lot of the ones they have now are down for maintenance and stuff.
About four or five months ago, a friend of mine, I was in the Navy years ago, a Lieutenant J.G. friend of mine told me that the Navy was getting four old boomers ready to turn over to California using his power generating stations.
The nuclear generation.
Nuclear ballistic missile submarines.
Oh, yes.
Old boomers. They,
that makes sense.
They're the ones that have turned surplus, the ones that were agreements with the Russians where they filled the missile tubes with concrete.
Yeah, I guess you could put one in L.A. and one in San Francisco.
They plan to put one in Coronado, one in San Pedro, one in Alameda, and I don't know where the fourth was to go.
Actually, that's a hell of an idea.
The point was that they could have them in operation within 6 weeks.
No, you're absolutely correct.
These boats produced about 60,000 horsepower, but they are driven by electric motors. It's basically a steam power plant. And
you mean 60,000?
60,000 horsepower. That turns into about 45 megawatts each.
That's a serious amount of power.
And from what I understand, the shortage of power they've got is only 1.5 to 5 megawatts.
Well, it depends on. There have been different shortages on different days.
Right, but if you can put 180 megawatts into the system.
Absolutely.
And they can run those boats at full bore for 2 years on what power charge they have.
Wow.
That gives them some breathing space. That's what happened in my timeline. About 5 weeks ago, I went to check
yes.
see how they were going. I had seen one of the boats set up on one of our news programs.
Right.
Y'all haven't done that.
It's true. So in other words, you're suggesting that somebody's really screwing with us, and we could have had these subs basically already almost in place.
Y'all could still put them in place. We did.
Well, what are we doing wrong?
They're there. They're sitting in the reserves. The boats are there. The Navy offered them. I'm sure they offered them here. They offered them at home.
And you think about 5 weeks ago the timeline changed?
About 5 weeks ago, I found that the timeline had changed. Somewhere between December, about the 15th, and about, as far as I've been able to trace it, somewhere between the 15th and the 5th of January, my timeline changed.
And you're law enforcement there near Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, in a small town north of Atlanta, about 40 miles.
You know that other a cop from L.A. that was on here a little while ago?
Yeah.
He's putting people like you into observation.
Unfortunately, yes, but in my timeline, we don't have anywhere near that problems.
Well, that's because, I guess by then, everybody's realized that you're not crazy.
Yeah, well, if I'm here, the person that's there was here is there, and I want my world back.
I understand. Anyway, it's a hell of an idea, so it's in the air tonight for you, all right?
Well, I hope somebody at least here decides to go ahead with it.
I got you. It's in the air, sir.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
Romance in our hands. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 18th of May, 2001.
I've always used this for my last segment. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It's like the relaxing desert night, summer night. And it's like summer out there right now. Actually, outside temperature here, about 74, 75 degrees outside right now. It's beautiful.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
And so it's gone with another week. Amazing, huh? And the veil begins to lift, but for the next 22 minutes, no doubt, there will be plenty of you coming through. First time? No. Old habits die hard. My possessed timeline line. You're on the air.
Yes, I am from the future, and I am from the past.
Both?
Both. I've been to both, and...
You're a traveling man.
Yes. Right now, what I need to say to everyone is some things that are going on right now on Earth. Now, first I ask, do you know what the frequency is? Have you heard the frequency? Say you're, you know, out in the woods somewhere and it's totally quiet.
Yeah.
And you listen and you hear a frequency, or you're taking a bath with the door closed. You can hear a frequency. And what that is, it's recording. This frequency is recording everything that happens on this planet right now.
Wow.
They have super high-tech lights. They're lights that act as antenna that are, they usually mount them in trees, or they can just mount them on your house or whatever. You can't see them. They're on a different wavelength. And that records everything that's happening, every thought that every person on this planet is thinking, everything. And in the future, you can review your past lives. So, like right now, you, Art, and me, we are reviewing our past lives at this time as we're talking.
Really?
Do you follow me?
I think.
Okay. And what else I need to say is... that they're not only recording everything on this planet,
yes,
they're also controlling us. And like some other people, I do have a computer in my brain that allows me to hear these frequencies.
You too, huh?
Yes. They are the frequencies that I'm hearing.
You have a computer in your brain?
Yes. As a younger boy...
What was the name of the secret...
How fast can he think?
No.
Yes, I don't know anything about history.
You don't?
No, I'm not...
Damn. I was going to ask you a simple historical question.
Yeah, it's not that kind of...
Computer.
I'm not programmed with,
okay,
like,
what
history.
Does what does the computer do for you?
The computer is... Well, okay, say you have a brain... And our brain is basically a computer, and we're only using like 7 or 9% of it.
Well, we know that to be true.
Right. Yeah. So when you add something to it, an implant or a computer implant or whatever you want to call it, they can and do access different parts of your brain.
But with so much capacity, so much storage, a simple little political U.S. question, and you're not ready for it.
Are you talking about the history?
Yeah.
Answering the history question?
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, with that much storage, why not a little bit of history?
That's a good question. I don't know why. I mean, there's so much...
Well, there's a second thing you don't have an answer for.
There's so much, you know, so much history. I mean,
What kind of lousy operating system are you being subjected to?
What would you like to know? What, you know...
How often does it crash?
It never crashes.
It just eternally provides you with a mediocre stream of bits of yeses and noes?
Well, it enhances my own brain and activates different functions of my brain. As far as, you know, you're asking, remembering history and stuff, that's not something that I do. I'm not a history person.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art.
Hey.
How you doing? I'm glad to have you back on the air.
Oh, I think.
First
you.
Of all. But, yeah, I was listening to that lady that had saw the dead squirrels in Ashland.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Was weird.
Yeah, it was. But the thing is I used to live in Ashland and, like, probably about 30 miles out of the airport. And we went out there because I was doing some work out there, and it was, like, probably a mile out past the airport.
Well, I know for sure Ashland's a little squirrely, but that's ridiculous.
Well, these weren't squirrels, but on the ground at this, like, little shed,
yes,
there were all these birds laying on the ground.
Oh, jeez,
and
birds.
I mean, they were, like, perfectly preserved, and they were, like, looking up at the air, like, some had their mouths open. And, like, I thought maybe it was something to do with the airplanes taking off there, but then I heard the story about the squirrels tonight, and I'm like...
Instead, they're little pillars of salt birds.
I don't know. Well, I mean, they were, like, preserved. I never...
It sounds just like the squirrel thing, except with birds.
Yeah, it is. Exactly like the squirrel thing. But it's in the same area. That's why I, like, thought it was kind of weird. So, no explanation for that?
Not for me.
Not for me.
But I guess Ashland would not be the place to be at that moment.
Yeah, well, I would just, because I...
What about people? Did you see Ashlanders sort of in humans in frozen?
No.
In place?
No, well, we were with a kind of weird guy who was kicking the birds around. Thought that was real funny. But
that's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I'd never
seen
anything
a bird that
like
can't
that
defend
before.
Itself frozen like that, and you'd kick it?
I didn't kick it. Some other guy kicked it. But
that's pathetic.
I know, it's pathetic.
The world is getting meaner by the minute.
Yeah, well, we were on a bus because we had to do community service out there, so that's why we were out there. All I did was steal a poster, that's why.
But you stole a poster?
Yeah, in Mario Van Peebles. It was for a girl.
Oh, well, if it was
but
for a
I'm
girl.
But I'm serious, these birds, because they freaked us out when we saw them, and we, like, told people about them, and no one knew what we were talking about, and that's the first thing I've ever heard was the dead squirrels exactly like that.
Yep.
So.
Well, if I was in Ashland right now, I'd be thinking real hard about...
Leaving?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Long Beach right now. That was about two
so
years ago.
So you've left...
Yes, I've left Ashland.
Well, we sure will watch Ashland after getting, thank you, two calls like that. We'll watch Ashland very closely. It could be that something is going to come along and simply freeze everything in place. Time stops, nothing moves. Maybe the little birds, the little squirrels, well, the squirrels certainly weren't conscious because they were beginning to become skeletons, but the little birds, they might have been conscious. And kicking a helpless little bird that can't move. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, this is Josh in Omaha. What's up?
You are up.
Yeah, I guess so.
In the batter's box.
Right. The show that you had, like, I don't know, it was maybe 3 years back. It was actually before I started listening. I just heard other, you know, copies of it when you replayed it. With the guy, I think it was ex-Area 51 employees is what you opened up the lines for.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Uh-huh. Right, and the guy called in, and he sounded really freaked out, you know, like not like he was acting. It actually sounded real, you know.
Oh.
He was worried about that they were going to triangulate on his position.
Yes, and then immediately, actually, in the middle of that call, as he was screaming... We lost our satellite along with,
Right, I remember that. That was an awesome show.
It was actually along with every other network that was on that satellite. They were all lost. The satellite lost its Earth, position and started, you know, twirling.
Yeah.
Tumbling.
Nonetheless, it was a cool show.
Yeah, it was.
But, yeah, I was listening to, I don't know, can I say the name of a band on the air, or... It was actually on a CD.
Can you say Tool?
Tool, yeah. It was on the Tools. I didn't know if I could, you know, if that was promoting or whatever. But, yeah, I was listening to it the other day because it just came out in my friend's car, and I heard it, and I was like, that's really familiar. And I kind of pictured back in my memory what it was, and I was like, oh, yeah. And they've got the whole clip, like, sampled on there, you know, along with a bunch of background static and really cool noise and everything. And
I know. It's a big honor. Tool has indeed put that on their new album, which is a smash hit. And I was so embarrassed because I started getting emails, people telling me, oh, my God, you're on the new Tool album. You're not going to believe it. And I my first words were, who's Tool? I didn't know who Tool was. Now I know. They've had three platinum albums.
Right.
And this one is no doubt headed to the same place. They are essentially, I'm told, the modern Pink Floyd.
Yeah, they're kind of industrial, sort of like that. Were one of the guys a fan of your show or something? Or?
Oh, that's what I've heard. And if it's true, then I would like to interview somebody from Tool.
Yeah, the guy's a really weird guy. I met him once. I think you'd like him.
No, he is weird. As a matter of fact, Tool has made a number of trips to Area 51.
Really? I didn't
know. You aware of that? You're not aware of that?
Uh-uh.
It's up on their webpage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're pretty weird, like me.
Well, I figured you'd know that, I guess, but maybe all your other listeners can go and check it out. Like I said, it is really cool with that background ambience and everything on there. So.
Pretty wild, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much. And I'll tell you another little secret. And I'm not going to tell you any more than this. When Men in Black 2 comes out, Columbia Pictures, Men in Black 2, look really hard for a, let's see, what would be the right word? The essence of me. see if you can spot it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello? Oh, no. Push the button, Art. There you go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
This is Marnie in Eugene, Oregon.
Hello, Marnie.
I just wanted to tell you that you had mentioned Atlantis earlier in the show.
It is going to be the first hour we replay in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
It was such a gigantic story, the way it came down. Yes. Did you hear the interview?
Yes, and I had just finished a book by Sylvia Brown.
Yes.
In which she says that Atlantis will be fully visible in the year 2026.
Well, it may have to come up 2,200 feet, or the ocean level may have to drop 2,200 feet.
We've got a lot of time to do it.
One way or the other. Well, that's a pretty big change.
You're a wonderful host, Mr. Bell. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. On my anomalous line, you are on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art Bell.
Yes.
I don't believe it. I have been trying to call you for almost 4 years.
Oh, boy.
I am not kidding.
Well, that's a long time to be dialing.
Oh, you're for real. Good thing I got a phone this year with speed dial. I think that's the only thing that gave me the answer. Okay, a couple of things real fast, and I'll end it with a time travel thing.
Yes.
You know you had the guy on a couple of nights ago talking about possessions?
Yes.
Okay, now when he exercises somebody and removes the spirit,
yes,
does that last forever, or does it expire, and can the person be repossessed?
Well, the person, in fact, can be repossessed, and sometimes he's got to exercise them several times before they're gone.
Oh, before they're actually
gone. Before
the
spirit.
I was half kidding with the question,
the
but that's phenomenal.
No, I got the repossessed part.
Oh, yeah. But, no, I was going to go put on phone, but I thought, nah. But anyway, I was listening, and normally I would joke about something like that, but
yes.
I don't think I will anymore because that stuff made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Mine, too.
It was just too bizarre. Okay, now on the time-traveling thing, this one is really serious. I know it's going to be hard to believe, but this is totally, totally true. About 5 years ago, well, let me ask you this.
You have no idea how many conversations from my callers start out just that way.
What?
This is going to be almost impossible to believe, but here I go.
Well, I guess you're lucky that way. Okay. When somebody forgets something, I mean, like, totally forgets it.
Yes.
Cannot remember.
Yes.
We call that amnesia.
Right.
What happens when somebody remembers something to the nth detail that never happened? Is there a name for that? I'll tell you why I ask. About 5 years ago, I started noticing that people were remembering things that I participated in.
Yes.
Not only differently than I remembered, but almost like the exact opposite. But yet they had all this detail. And then when I check, it's like other people would remember it their way, and some people would be fuzzy. But I definitely remember a totally different way of something happening.
Well, what kind of stuff did they tell you that you did that you didn't remember?
Or either that or that, like at a party, something happened or a sequence of events that was like nothing like what occurred.
In other words, in your ongoing life, you just
Some of it is in my life. Some of it is in the news.
So in other words, let me get this straight.
Okay.
In the life you're in now, you're just sort of an average gal.
Of course.
But in the other life, you were a party gal.
Well, no, not even that. Just honestly, this is why I'm telling you, this is totally, I'm totally serious with this. And I only started noticing it about 5 years ago.
Well, I'm asking, what are the differences? You mentioned
No, the difference isn't so much that I'm different as events that took place. They remember them, and I'm sure that they're remembering them accurately, but it's like totally different than what I remember. And then there are some things that other people are in dispute about, and I'm like real fuzzy on. Like the whole thing with Nelson Mandela, that's the weird one. When I heard that, again, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, because I do remember him dying in prison.
Yeah.
And then, sometime later, I remember being surprised when I heard that he's like the president of the ANC or whatever they call their government there.
Right.
Well, there was, and he even visited here and everything, and I'm thinking, but that's weird because I remember, and this was before I stopped to think that I had heard that he had died in prison.
Yes.
But I could have remembered hearing that he had been assassinated. So it's like two different major things happened to Nelson Mandela.
I agree with you. And so what you're talking about is a major area of investigation for me. I'm not sure how to go about investigating this. I've been pondering that now for quite some time, and I have no idea how to proceed, because how do we start to prove, other than with evidence of people like you calling and emailing me, that somebody's screwing with timelines? How do we prove that?
That, you know what, I'm going to think about that, and if I ever get through to you again, I'll have a suggestion.
All I can imagine is compiling a lot of the kind of evidence you've given me tonight. I mean, your own personal testimony.
Well, better than that, how about we start from today? Because this is all, this is the problem. This is all after the fact. Sort of like in a classroom when the answer's given and then some kid says, oh, yeah, I was just about to say that. It's like, yeah, right.
Yeah,
well, maybe
right.
They were, but yeah, right. So this is all falls within the category of yeah, right. So how about everybody, like everybody listening, start keeping a journal of the high points of their day, like just two or three lines, whatever the major things are. Like,
or even better, mm-hmm. Not just the high point of your day, but go to CNN Headline News or something, mm-hmm. And write down the major events of the day.
Okay, yeah, that's even better. Yeah, that's more empirical.
And yeah, that's right.
And then, right, and then we'll all just save it, and then, like, every few months or so, kind of review it, and when something doesn't jive, we can all, like, compare notes, literally compare notes.
Now you're cooking.
Yeah, all right. Then it's great talking to you. Oh, if I ever get to meet you, would it be okay if I give you and Mona a hug? Because I collect hugs. I collect famous hugs.
You're a hugger, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I've hugged, you know, my best
just
celebrity
people,
hug.
Just people or trees, too? Or?
Oh, no, I do hug trees, but that came later. Celebrity hug happened on Valentine's Day. Mikhail Gorbachev. Oh, my God, no. Mikhail Baryshnikov. It was so cool. No, when I see you, I'll tell you what the hug is like. It's phenomenal.
Well, so you're a celebrity hugger?
Well, sort of. I collect hugs, and some of them are celebrities.
Well, do these celebrities know the hugs are coming all the time, or do you have to sort of sneak up on them? And...
Oh, no, I'm very spontaneous, but they don't seem to mind.
Well, yeah, if a hug comes fast enough, it's like, hey, what do you do?
Well, you know what, that's funny, because there are some people who kind of just stand there and don't really take it. Others, you feel them sort of reluctantly take it, and others just suck it right up. It's just wild. It's really wild. I'll have to give you my dissertation on hugs one day.
I've never had a hugger call before.
Oh,
not a fully admitted hugger.
Oh, no, full on. And then, well, this other one I'll tell you again if ever I see you guys in person, but I'll tell you about my experiences hugging Michael and Kitty Dukakis.
Michael Dukakis?
And Kitty Dukakis, too, but separately on two different weeks.
They always struck me as sort of the hugging type.
I'll tell you when I meet you personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I don't want to be disparaging, and I don't mean to be, but I'd have to give you an honest accounting, right?
Oh, you would, yes.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it on the air.
Okay. I really want to thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Hey, bye. Your radio may now return to its normal timeline. It's hard to tell. I urge you, those who have...
Those who have the ability to hear the next hour, which is going to be rebroadcast, you don't want to miss it. And so goes another week. I'm Art Bell, from the high desert where the winds blow. Ta-ta.